So, Jamie, I, as you know, it is raining a little bit here in normally Southern California.
It's always Southern. It's not normally Southern.
It's always normally sunny. It's always sunny in California.
Right, but you said normally Southern California, not normally sunny Southern California.
Well, it is raining and normally sunny.
I mean, if there's some sort of earthquake, we might not be Southern anymore.
I think
there's some sort of landmass shift.
We're going to just drown. Southern California is going to be, wiped off into the ocean. It's not going to be an earthquake. It's going to be, a storm.
Right.
There's going to be
a stiff breeze.
Right. The water's just going to, come in and take us down.
Yes. Into the gutter.
With
all the filth. Like Taxi Driver.
Right. No.
Yes.
So
without a hero, because there are no taxis here.
There are no taxis here. This is true. My car is, as you know, I drive a smart car.
Mm-hmm. How's that smart car working out in the rain for you, Scott?
Well, Jamie, the smart car in the rain is not the best.
Yeah,
I would say it's not the best.
Yeah,
I parked on the side of the street, as you know, we went to brunch this morning,
right?
And it was downpouring. Downpour, right?
It was a downpour. It was a downpour. Yeah.
And my car, I went to go get back into my car, and I couldn't.
Yes. It was, there was a foot of water.
There was a river running down my car, running down the street through my car.
I am fairly shocked that your car was not floating down the side of the street like a little paper boat.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
38.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning. Well, actually, it's
good
afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's raining, so it feels like morning all day.
It does. It does. It is, what's the day today? Sunday something or other?
Right? November 20th.
Sunday, November 20th. Wow, it's already November.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I know. It's only a couple days to Franksgiving.
This is true. Franksgiving.
Yeah.
Is it Franksgiving?
Everyone gives Franks. Hot dogs, sausages, bratwurst.
All of those things.
Mm-hmm. Frank Stallone.
Frank. It's his own personal
Frank
holiday.
Darabont movies.
Yes, we see those playing a lot, I guess. That's true. This week, some cool announcements on the technological front of the world. I personally got a new gadget, which I'm very excited about.
What did you get, Scott?
Well, Jamie, I got a Kindle Fire.
And how do you feel about the Kindle Fire?
I'm not sure yet. I have mm-hmm. some mixed feelings on it. Like, I enjoy the Kindle Fire. I enjoy kindling, in general.
Right. Yes.
But, you saw it.
You went to kindergarten when you were a kid. I'm sorry.
What is kindergarten? Kindergarten. Wow.
Oh, geez.
Man, the rain.
The rain impairs his brain.
I don't think it's the rain, Jamie. I think it's just Jamie Dooner.
I impair your brain?
No, sometimes.
Okay.
So Kindle Fire, nice size device,
Yeah.
It's a 7-inch screen, beautiful display.
Uh-huh.
It's the IPS display, just like the what's it called? The
iPad?
The iPad. Yeah, iPad 2. Oh my god. so it's the IPS display just like the iPad 2. It's a fully customized version of the Android operating system. So when you look at this thing, it doesn't look like Android. You wouldn't think it's Android. It just looks like Amazon's own software, basically.
Correct.
What's nice is, so on the top bar, you have a search bar, and then you have newsstand, books, music, video, documents, docs, apps, and web. And each of those take you to, newsstand takes you to the built-in Amazon newsstand, books takes you to your library of books, and then the Amazon bookstore. Right mm-hmm. from there. Music takes you to the Amazon Music, your Amazon Music library. And I had previously updated all my music or mm-hmm. uploaded all my music there. So I have all of that on there.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Video takes you to Amazon Instant Streaming and, their video store.
Right.
The device.
What does Docs take you to?
It just takes you to like a document manager.
So
you
can, not to Doc Brown or Doc Hollywood or Doc Severinsen.
No, but Doc Hollywood was in the Amazon Instant Streaming and I almost played it yesterday. Every time I watch Heart of Dixie, it makes me think of Doc Hollywood. So,
well, that you should keep that to yourself.
A cheesy 80s, Rachel Bilson, we have, you know, good things going there. The docs, like, you know, on the regular Kindle, how you can email yourself PDFs?
Right.
That's what it takes you to. Same thing. Oh, like, okay. I have, like, scott@kindle.com, whatever it is.
Right, yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
And if I email myself a document, it shows up in the Documents tab on the top here.
Are you? Can you zoom in onto PDFs on the on this Kindle Fire? Because you couldn't do it on the normal Kindle.
You know, that is a good question. I could probably pull it up. Because
the only thing, most things I've ever read PDF wise on my Kindle were scripts, and they come out really tiny. And I always wanted to zoom.
You can, let's see, if I go into, I'm in a PDF here. I cannot zoom, but I can change the font size depending on the kind of PDF it is. So if it's scanned in, then you probably can't.
Right. See, that's a problem. They need to be able to figure out how to zoom in on the PDF.
You know, it's weird. I actually,
you're reading a legal document or a script, something where the typing is tiny,
you should be able to,
you should be able zoom in.
You know, I downloaded, because you can, you know, you can download files onto here from box.net, and I sideloaded a bunch of apps.
Do you know
what that is? So like on Android, you don't have to go to the store always to install an app. You can, like a developer can put it on their website and you can download it from there. So Dropbox was not in the Amazon App Store, but it was available to do that way.
Right.
So I was able to, you know.
So every time you launch that app, does it take you to the web first to bounce it?
No.
Okay.
No, it takes you like if you click on Docs, it just takes you into here. It's like a document manager.
To here being what, Scott?
Well, Jamie, since we're only an audio broadcaster, why don't you describe what I'm showing you?
He's showing me the Kindle Fire. I don't know what I'm looking at.
It looks like a bookshelf.
It does look like a bookshelf.
Like a graphic bookshelf.
They all look like bookshelves.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. You know, so Docs, apps takes you to the App Store, the Amazon App Store, and they have a lot. I think they had a lot of apps.
Yeah, I was looking at it. They seem to have a number of them.
Yeah, and what's nice is like the homepage is not your typical iOS, Android homepage or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's like Coverflow in iTunes,
yeah,
you know, where you can scroll through the album covers.
Right.
The top part looks like that.
Yeah, and it's not, you're not sort of stuck in one of the categories. It just flows through each thing that you've recently done. So
right, so it could be a book.
You just looked at a book or you just opened an app. It'll be a book, app, video, music, document, whatever.
Exactly. And then on the bottom, you have a little shelf where you can put your favorites. Mm-hmm. So you can throw... Once again,
it's apps. Full of shelves, this thing.
It's the shelves.
There's a shelf.
It's a media consumption device. I mean,
what do you think of the shelf life of this device?
Ba-dum-bum. Well, it's Amazon. I think it's going to be around for a while.
Right.
I think, you know, right out of the box, opened it and there's a software update already.
Huh.
So they're already tweaking it a little bit. The responsiveness isn't the best. I'm noticing a little bit of lag when I use it, which is surprising to me.
Yeah. But the Kindle always lags a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice when I was looking at a book on there that I would say the normal Kindle, page to page, loads a lot quicker.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really
interesting. But it might have something to do with the color display and all that sort of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, that's very true. It's, you know, size-wise, I love it. I can hold it with one hand, which is great. It's got this very, like, soft plastic backing on it, you know? Similar to the old HTC phones.
You can hold it with one hand. It's easy to clean.
It's yep. And I'm going to breeze by that. The Amazon Instant works awesome. I mean, like, the streaming is... There's a good library. It plays real fast, quick. Hulu Plus works awesome. Netflix works great.
Yeah.
Like, all the media consumption areas of this work fantastic. The Amazon Music Store, all my music's in there. I can play it. Now, a couple of disadvantages. Number one, there's only 8 gigs of storage on here.
Oof.
So it's really meant for streaming.
Right.
Or books. I mean, like, you can store a ton of books on it. For 8 gigs, I mean, that's thousands of books.
Yeah.
You know.
A library.
And even, you know, you could store a handful of movies or a handful of TV shows, but for the most part, it's meant to be used when you have an internet
connection.
Well,
I mean, to be honest, you're not who is going to store a ton of movies on their device. You know what I mean?
Some people do, you know?
But what,
like, well, if you're like in the car with your kids or something.
Right, but you're still only going to put three or four things at most.
That's true.
Even for yourself, like, I will download a movie if I'm going to buy it. And if I know I'm going to be on a trip where I don't have access to it, I'll download maybe a movie or two or three or four episodes of television, and that'll be it.
Yeah, right. That's true. You know what's cool is the way Amazon does their video and TV stuff. I mean, aside from the Amazon Instant Streaming, which Amazon Prime gives you that. Right. It's like you pay for Amazon Prime, right?
I got in right on the get-go, so I like paid minimal.
Anyway, it's like $79 a year.
Yeah, but I got some special deal when it very first started.
Oh, really?
Where it was like
$30 a year or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's awesome. So for that, you get all the Amazon Instant Streaming, which is nice. But also, you have the Amazon, just the regular store, where you can buy movies or buy episodes of TV shows. What's nice about the way Amazon does it is you can buy it on your device, you can buy it on your computer, it doesn't matter. It shows up in your library. And like, let's say I bought an episode of a TV show.
Heart of Dixie, for example.
Heart of Dixie. So I can play Heart of Dixie streaming, mm-hmm. or I can choose to download it to the device.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it shows up there.
And you can watch it with one hand.
And I could watch... I'm not going to engage you, Jamie. I'm not going to engage you.
What? Scott likes to watch Heart of Dixie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What? Rachel Bilson? Who wouldn't want to watch her with one hand?
Exactly. I really hope she never listens to the show.
So what? Rachel Bilson, if you're ever listening to the show.
I think you're a wonderful actress.
Scott Gold watches your show with one hand. Just saying.
Wow. Wow. Moving on. also... The music, you know, like I said, I uploaded everything. As soon as I turned on the device, all the music was on here, all the albums, everything I bought, which is, you know, it worked very fluid and very smooth. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been impressed with that functionality.
It's super dense. The
For the size.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lighter than like, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it's lighter than an iPad 2. It's way lighter than the touchpad, way lighter than an iPad 1.
Yes, considerably lighter than the touchpad.
Than the brick that is the touchpad. The touchpad weighs like 100 pounds.
It's also, you know.
Well, it's a lot smaller. And screen size-wise, that's like the screen of an iPad 2, so size-wise. So if you're looking at those two sizes, you can tell, obviously, the difference.
Right. It's sort of like a big PSP. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, because that always had a nice screen on it.
Yeah. The screen really is beautiful. That's one of the web browsing to me and like reading email seems too small.
Yeah,
that's the one thing. Like if you're going to use it,
what about reading a book?
Well, the text is bigger,
right?
So it's fine. I mean, I haven't read anything long term. I just read a few pages of some books. I'm going out of town at some point.
Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
And, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and so you know when I get a book on there, then I will. Have a better idea of what it's like to read on it, you know. I'm thinking of maybe the Steve Jobs biography.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly there's this book Ready Player One I've been meaning to read.
Right.
So maybe something like that.
The Rachel Bilson story.
Rachel Bilson's autobiography. How'd you know? How'd you know, Jamie? So I don't know. I haven't
OC to Dixie. The Rachel Bilson story.
You know, there's probably a book out there like that. I wouldn't be surprised. So all in all, solid device. Is it the best thing ever? No. Is it $200? Yes. Which is, I mean, you cannot, for what you're getting for that price, you can't beat it. And actually, I also read that the cost to make this device is $201.49.
Wow.
So they're actually losing money on every device.
But they're, I mean, you're basically buying...
They want you to buy
a shopping cart.
Right. That's exactly it. Well, you know, and I read something, there was an article, somebody referring to, this is the, you know, 21st century version of the Sears catalog.
Huh.
You know, which it is, because what they also include
what's
is...
What's the Sears catalog?
The Amazon...
what's a catalog? Catalog?
You know, Victoria's Secret.
I actually know what a catalog is. My parents, for our entire lives, have just collected... Not collected, but just received so many catalogs that... I mean, everything you can possibly imagine.
Really?
Just... I mean, we used to joke that we were going to put a giant like refrigerator box like near the Christmas tree. Like the kids were all going to wrap it and it was just going to be full of their year catalogs because they wouldn't get rid of it.
Right.
My dad or my mom would see something and like circle it and be like, I like that. And then never throw the thing away. You know?
That's so really
funny.
It'll
be like 4 years old Hemaker, Schlemaker, whatever the hell that catalog is. Catalog, you know?
Wow. What also the app they include though is the Amazon Store app.
Yeah,
and
right,
I mean,
that looks great.
It's awesome, and it's hey, just buy stuff from us.
Right.
We're gonna make it really easy, and you're gonna have it you know on the couch, and you're gonna see recommendations based on the movies you've bought, and it's gonna show us products that you might like.
Right,
it's a very stealth way into the living room. For the Amazon store.
I don't think it's stealth at all.
No, you don't realize it. Like, you know it, but you don't realize it. Like, it's just so easy and it's just there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's just... It's
not overt, it's just there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it stealth. Stealth would be like if you bought stuff that you didn't know you bought.
But you're not... No. But you're not buying the device for the app store. I mean, for the Amazon store. You're buying it for the stuff, for your media, and all of a sudden there's this very easy app store on there.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying like you buying it as stealth. I'm just saying like the inclusion
of that.
Well,
it's sort of like it's kind of like when television was invented, it was just about selling, it still is to a degree, just about selling soap or whatever, you know?
Right.
But now they're cutting out the middleman. You buying the soap directly. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
that's true.
You don't have to sit through 30 seconds of whatever.
30 seconds
doesn't
of
matter.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Of soap.
Yes.
Of soap. So, all right. So that's the Amazon Kindle. I will have a little bit more to say about it after I've used it more. And, you know, after I've kind of done some reading on it and, you know, just had it sitting in the living room. I do have to say, I mean, just the weight of it is really nice.
Right.
That's a huge thing for me. So we'll see. Other news this week was...
Why are you pointing at me?
I don't know. Because I feel like I should be animated. Other news this week, Google launched their full-on music store and service.
Mm-hmm.
So, we knew this was coming.
Yes.
We talked about it last week.
There was supposed to be a big twist.
Right.
What was the big twist?
The big twist was not so much of a big twist. The big twist was what people kind of anticipated as a Google Plus sharing feature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the nice thing about, I mean, you can share anything you buy on there on Google Plus, and full albums, tracks, anything, and all your friends can listen to the entire album or each song one time all the way through.
So it's kind of like what Facebook does with Spotify a little bit.
Right, except you have to have a Spotify account to do that. You just have to be a part of Google+.
Do you
Plus.
Have to have a Spotify account?
Yeah, you
I
can't play Spotify or one of the other music services that...
Right.
Otherwise, you can't play the songs.
Right.
So this is anybody that's on Google+, Plus, whoever uses Google+, Plus, I don't know, not many people that I know of. Kind of like what Lala did back in the day. Except Lala, you didn't even
Lala
have to be...
Lala the Teletubby?
Lala the Teletubby. Is there a Teletubby named Lala?
Scott, come on.
Jamie, I don't know. I don't think I've ever watched an episode of Teletubbies.
Well, you missed out.
was there really though? There was a Lala.
I believe Lala was the purple Teletubby that caused all the controversy.
Oh, with the purse?
Yes.
Ah.
When Jerry Falwell or whoever said that there was a gay Teletubby and that was a terrible thing for some reason.
Amazing. Amazing. People in this world. So Lala used to do that, but they used to just let you... Anyone, you can go to the site and listen to a full song once.
Right.
Which is a nice feature. I think that would be a better implementation of it than having to share. I mean, it's like they're forcing you to try and use Google Plus.
Right.
And it's never going to work that way. It's got to be an organic, you know, thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why people are going to use it, because it's organic. If you're going to start sharing on Google Plus and nobody's looking, who cares?
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, there were a couple other like cool things, though. I mean, just the store itself, you know, you can buy music, which you couldn't do before. Google Music storage, cloud storage of your music is now not a beta anymore, so anybody can sign up,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
You know, it's interesting. It's not to cut you off, but like the Ping thing failed too, right? Where they tried to make this social network based on what you were purchasing in iTunes. And because it wasn't organic, because you had to... Part of the problem, I think, is that you're not... Like, it should just be a certain... Like, it should be ingrained in the service itself. So when you go onto iTunes or Google Music, it shows you there on your homepage what your friends are buying. Do you know what I mean?
Well, without you having
to share
it. Without
you having to look... Well, yeah, you don't have to share it if you don't want to, but I mean, like, you can, it should be right there. It should be ingrained, like, it's one thing, not like they're two. Like, you go to Google Music and you buy stuff, and then you can go to your Google Plus page and see what other people are doing. It's two separate things. If they right. really want this social, this interactive element of it, it should all be part of the same thing.
Well, and that's why I think Spotify and stuff on Facebook is working so well.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so if you could go onto Google Music and I see, oh, Scott just bought
Huey Lewis and the News Sports,
right? Or you're Scott, or even that you listen to it without buying it, or you search for whatever. I mean, that could be highly embarrassing.
Well, but yes, that's same but with also, what Spotify is doing.
Like, yeah, but
you're following somebody's activity,
right? But it's right there on the purchase page. That makes it more interesting.
I agree.
That's where if you want to integrate those two things, that's how it's got to be, in my opinion.
Right. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. That totally makes sense. And it would be easy for them to do. The biggest problem that they have is they are really, and this is the biggest problem I think with Google Plus in general, is that they are really trying to force people into using it, and that's never going to work. You know,
right.
Like if they just put up Google Plus and let it sit there and possibly gain momentum by itself, it had a chance.
Well, none of those things, I mean, you know, Friendster, MySpace, Facebook, all of those things, when they first launched, were it took years. I had a Facebook account for, I think, a year and a half or 2 years before I ever used it. Same with Twitter. It took a long time for people to catch on. You can't.
Right.
It's not going to happen overnight. It takes year. It takes at least a year or two for a number of people to really be involved with it to the point where it makes you want to be involved.
Well, and I feel like that's kind of what happened with Google Talk. Do you ever use Google Talk? Like the IM, Google's IM.
No.
So like.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah,
but like our, you know, like us. It was AIM,
right.
You know, all the time. And I know a lot of people that still use it. But like my cousin, who's 10 years younger, all of a sudden, one day, I noticed that her and all her friends use GTalk.
Huh.
Because they started using it in college because they all had Gmail accounts and they weren't using AIM and all that. You know, like, so that organically that change happens. And if somebody wants to take on Facebook, it's going to have to be like that.
Right.
You know, so it's going to have to organically happen. No company is going to be able to force that onto us.
Right.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Correct.
So other features of Google Music that I thought were nice, they have these like artist pages, which are pretty like there's music videos on them and the artists can give away some free music sometimes.
Right.
And like there's big bios and it's very in-depth info, a little bit more than like an iTunes store. Which I kind of like. I think that's nice. Like there's some documentary videos on there that you could watch and, you know, just kind of get you familiar with an artist. And I like that.
It's a little more friendly to indie artists too, right?
Well, yeah, that was one of the big things. They launched this like, I want to say it was called the Artist Hub, but I think that's just the regular artist page. But any artist can pay a small fee and have put their music and have their own page.
It's only like $25 or something.
Like for a year.
Yeah.
And then it's a 70-30 split on the profits, and you can put your music up there. You have great,
who gets 70? The artist?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it's a great great promotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, it's Google. This stuff's going to come up in Google searches. It's going to if you like this, you will like that kind of thing.
Right.
So the more people use it, you know, I think they're taking on this space that MySpace kind of was trying to have,
mm-hmm.
and they still a little bit do, but it's becoming pretty irrelevant these days.
One of the biggest selling points is that it's free for you to use, and up to 20,000 songs of storage.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot
for free.
Yeah,
that's why everyone has Gmail accounts. Same reason,
right?
Because there's tons of storage and it's free.
Yeah, I mean, which makes me talk about.
You're also putting all of your information out into whoever they want to give it to.
That's true. But that's true. Speaking of
they can read all my Nigerian print spam mail that they want to.
Yeah. Give it to them. Yeah. Give it to them. Apple launched iTunes Match also this week. You know?
The iTunes Match.
Apple launched iTunes Match, which went full on. I think they charged, it's like $25 a year, which really at the end of the day is very cheap. And you can upload all your music through iTunes.
Yeah.
I use Google Music all the time. If you're in the Android ecosystem, Google Music is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. It's in my device. Yeah. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I can stream my music. I have it all up there. It works fantastic.
It's built
fantastic.
Into everything. Yeah. Yes.
Same thing goes, I think, with iTunes Match for Apple. If you're right, in the Apple ecosystem, it makes total sense. I set up a couple people with it last week. Worked very easy. You know, the sign up is super simple.
Right.
And then it scans your library, and anything that's up in the Apple's iTunes store, it matches for you,
mm-hmm.
which really goes pretty quick in general. You know, I had like somebody that had like 30 gigs of music, and it did in about an hour.
Oh, that's great.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Then, though, if there's songs that aren't in there, it has to upload them.
Yeah.
And that could take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But once they're on there, one of the coolest things, I mean, obviously you get it on your phone and you get it on your iPad,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. But the cooler thing is if you attach any other iTunes to it, you can stream all that music no matter where you are. So if you have a computer that you don't have any of your music on, you go into your iTunes and sign into your account.
Oh, that's good.
You have everything available to you, and it doesn't take up space on your computer.
Right.
I mean, what that made me think of is if somebody wanted to get an 11-inch MacBook Air with a smaller hard drive, they don't need to waste all that space with their music.
Right.
It was really neat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just works seamless.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool. Is Google Music...
it goes to their whole sort of...
iCloud thing, I mean.
Well, yeah, their mission sort of statement to create a hub and just you have these devices where you can...
Right.
Access the hub no matter where you're at.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And it works well. Is Google Music an iTunes killer? No. Is it an Amazon killer? No. Is it going to be competitive? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it absolutely will. I mean, as an Android user, I'm very inclined to use that store because also smart thing they did is they integrated the music store into the Android market.
Right.
So like on an iPhone, you have the App Store and you have the, then you have iTunes store. On Google, you have the market, and in the market is books, movies, music, apps, all in one place. When you go to the homepage, there's four tabs, and like right from there, you're going to be able to buy music.
So what, pros and cons of each of the three big music.
Well, pros for Google, obviously free.
Free.
I mean, that's like
and
big right there.
A lot of free storage.
And integrated into the
Android
devices.
Stuff.
I think that's the biggest
plus
thing.
The,
and full web player.
More access to independent music.
Oh, yeah. Very true. Very true. So, those are all good, you know, pluses. Negative, positive that they have a web app. Negative, there is no desktop application for it.
Right.
It's a little difficult to download music you've gotten from there onto a computer.
Yeah.
But if you're staying in that system where you're playing on the web, you're playing on your phone, then when you buy it, it's available all over the place.
Okay.
Except downloaded to your computer. Because that you have to have, like, manually initiate.
Okay, iTunes.
iTunes.
Apple. If you're an Apple person.
If you're an Apple person, obviously. iTunes itself.
Right.
The program on your computer. The fact that it's built into iTunes.
Right.
Huge selling point.
iTunes. And I would say that It's the best of the three of them, the most well organized
music store.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got to check out the Google Store. They really, I think they did. I feel like I love iTunes.
Yeah.
In general, although I bought most of my music in the recent past couple of years from Amazon.
Right.
But iTunes has felt recently like it's just kind of gotten a little all over the place. I don't know why. Hmm. Have you noticed that?
Well, just the homepage is a little all over the place, right? But it always is. But it's always so, like...
It feels like more.
The top sellers, I think it's just...
Yeah, something weird. I don't know what it is, and it's not... It hasn't been going on that long.
Right.
But there's just been something off, and I think maybe Google's...
iTunes has deals with everyone, though.
Oh, that's another downside of Google.
Google and all the Warner stuff they don't
have.
No
Warner yet.
But iTunes has everything... Plus a huge selection of like audiobooks and spoken word and all that sort of stuff if you're into that stuff.
True.
And Amazon, if you want to get it for like half the price of everywhere else.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, look, Amazon, price-wise, they kill it.
Yeah.
They kill it, and they probably lose money, but...
But they're also, their selection's limited.
Amazon. Well, they have all the major labels.
Yeah, but I feel like iTunes selection's still better than Amazon.
I don't know. I think it used to be, but I feel like I feel nowadays it's not.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I wonder how many tracks each has. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. iTunes has, if you want to buy music right away, day of release stuff and early release. iTunes always has way better stuff. They usually have like
they do special
big
releases.
They do like bonus stuff that no one else does.
Very true. Bonus tracks. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I think the more music services, the better for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I buy stuff on Amazon and iTunes.
Well, I mean,
I will on Google.
We can price compare.
Yeah,
that's the great thing. That's why I love and it's going to make all of them better.
Yeah.
Like the cloud services come out and then Apple comes out with theirs and they're upping the game a little bit. And then one of the other ones is going to up the game a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, it just all around better for everybody,
mm-hmm.
especially for buying music, you know?
Right. Right.
What's interesting is like with all these like Spotify's and the bigger, streaming services, you know, I'm curious to see if Google Music, if Apple, if Amazon are going to get into that field. Because right now they're purchase only.
There was that story this week about that independent record label collective that pulled
out of Spotify
and other streaming,
Rhapsody and RDO.
Yeah,
they pulled out of all of them. It was like 200 indie labels
because they said that they're losing money.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting.
I mean, it's interesting. Like I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think they're losing money or they feel like they're not making as much as they can?
I think they lose it. I mean, think about all of our friends. We're all music people, right?
Right.
And that listen to Spotify stuff all day long. That new album's supposed to be good. And they listen to it on Spotify and they say, oh yeah, that's pretty good. And they never buy it.
Right. But they're... On the flip side, sometimes you will listening and then buy it.
Yeah, but I think it's right? just the way things have changed. But like, it used to not be like that. You would hear one song and you would buy something based on that.
But I think it's more it to me like those streaming music services are replacing what the radio used to be for people.
Yes, but it's different though what people should do is limit the amount of times you can listen to something.
Well, the free version, you have a certain amount of listens per month and there's commercials.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's also the thing. The artists are getting paid from Spotify.
Right.
They get paid. And that's why it's a subscription service. And the subscription service, if it grows and grows and grows, it could make a lot of money for everybody.
Right.
You know? I mean, Spotify is exploding.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know what? I think it is... It's weird. It's weird. You know, do as a consumer, do you want to pay $10 a month forever to listen to your music? Or do you want to buy your music? You know, that's the question.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to separate my feelings about being a consumer and then, because I know musicians and I know, like, what, you know, radio screwed musicians over in a big way. And if this is just the latest version of that.
Except they're getting paid. Radio, they didn't get paid at all.
Right. But I still, if they're making a minimal amount instead of someone actually purchasing the album, they're taking away, because it's not a playlist that someone else put together and says, this is we're marketing to classic rock people, we're marketing to
adult contemporary. But they do that on Spotify.
No, I know that, but you can still listen to whatever you want. It's different than radio because you can decide, I'm going to listen to this whole album and I'm going to listen to it 5 times instead of listening to it once and then buying it, which is what people used to do.
True. But, and yeah, I agree. However, you know, nowadays, this is not where bands make their big money.
Right.
They don't make it from album sales. They make it from live concerts.
I read something recently where it said the amount of people of full-time like working bands has totally dwindled.
Interesting.
Where now you're seeing way more sort of local people that don't leave their local area because they have to work.
That's interesting.
So it'll be, you know, a local band might be a big internet sensation, but they don't tour because they still have to go to their job at Starbucks or whatever every day.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. But also take, you know, let's say there is a little cool indie band and you all of a sudden only way you've listened to them is on Spotify. And
oh,
they
the exposure
come
is,
through town.
The immediate exposure is much different for sure. it's way different, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. I guess in music I feel like there's gonna always be both. There's gonna be the streaming and there's gonna be the purchase. I just wonder if one's going to start to overtake the other.
Right.
And I'm curious. Now, I don't think there was anything else on Google Music. There was the Google Music and, you know, the iTunes Match were the big things. On another streaming front, as I make
as
like
it
a
as, as the front of your apartment is a stream because
yes.
of the rain.
Because of the rain. Netflix had a very cool announcement this week. I thought.
Yeah.
Netflix announced that they are going to be producing, I guess. I don't remember if it was producing, but they will be the exclusive, quote-unquote, broadcaster of 10 new episodes of...
Arrested Development.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Big Arrested Development fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you guys out there have watched the show, but if you have Netflix now, you can watch the old episodes, and it is hysterical.
And one of those shows that benefits from multiple views.
Yeah,
there's so many jokes buried in every episode.
It's amazing.
You can watch it 4 or 5 times before you get everything.
Any show that had a character named Bob Loblaw, I think, is one of the greatest shows ever. Played by Scott Baio, by the way.
No, the Analropist joke was the best one ever.
yes. If you don't know what we're talking about, please watch the show. I'm telling you, you will die laughing. It's amazing. But so Netflix is going to have the exclusive on the new episodes. And then I guess, which is ultimately going to be leading up to a movie, hopefully, is what the creator, Mitch Hurwitz, said.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, great.
Now, let me ask you a question. I mean, you already are a Netflix subscriber.
Yes.
Let's say you weren't. Do you think something like this would make you subscribe to Netflix?
It's hard to say because, yeah, I mean, I think it would, but I've been on Netflix for years.
Right.
So it just excites me that they are actually producing original content.
Yeah. I think they're doing what I always saw them
as. If they're smart, what they'll do is they'll grab up any cult show that, you know, Community, if that goes off the air, or Cougar Town, these shows that have a big audience that
very smart
want to send stuff to the offices at NBC. And grab it up, and you know, and because they have the for Netflix, the amount of people that already watch a show like Community, that's it's a hit. You know,
that's true. No, it's very true. They get a built-in audience, and I think those people that are that niche, and that fanatics. Yeah, for certain shows.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like Community and Cougar Town, they have these very, very fanatic fan bases.
Right.
I think they would, if they didn't have Netflix, they would get it for that.
I'm just going to make it clear that those shows have not officially been canceled yet. They have just been sort of put on hiatus.
Watch.
Yes. they're not producing new episodes, and... They've been taken off the schedule. So if you're a fan of either of those shows, I don't know. I'm a big Community fan, so I would like that to keep going.
Yeah.
But I also, it's one of those ones where while watching it, I'm like, this is too smart to stay on network television. It's going to get taken off.
Right. Yeah. That's curious.
Yeah.
Curious. You know, I mean... You know, think about it as like an HBO. You know, if they
I mean, they're
that's
gonna,
why they have their big subscriber base these days.
They are
is their original
Netflix
programming.
Is the HBO of streaming,
or they're trying to be.
Well, they are already
they're trying to be.
You don't think they are?
No, I think they have big issues right now.
Well, they, of course they have issues, but I mean, just in general, they're the name in streaming video. Right. Amazon's right behind them, but I mean.
But
they've lost a lot of subscribers
and a lot of goodwill,
right?
You know, I mean, like HBO, the way they started was first run movies. Netflix
right.
has never had that,
right?
You know, but I think they're on the right track with this original content. I think this is a great move for them.
Yeah,
and if they follow up on these kind of things, it could kind of be a little bit of a game changer in this realm.
For sure.
In the magical realm of technology.
The magical realm of technology.
I feel like I like that for some reason. I don't know. So we'll see. You know, Arrested Development coming back at you. I'm very excited. Very excited. I think we should move on to... Thanksgiving.
I wasn't doing a turkey. That was I was doing a racist impression of I'm sorry.
Of what?
Nothing. If you don't know, then I didn't do it well.
I don't know. And I'm watching you right now. Okay. So every year, Jamie and I, around this time, we both love pumpkin pie.
Yes. Well, I would say that I love it year round. But
that's true. Me too. But I crave it more this time of year.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Wait. Can I just say something for 1 second? Do you ever feel like when we transition into this part of the podcast, we go from being it goes from like this technology thing into like that old Saturday Night Live skit where they're making fun of NPR hosts? Like the sweaty balls.
yeah,
like basically. Because the way we talk about things totally changes.
It
goes from like this harsh commentary to, isn't this delicious?
Isn't food delicious?
And our voices change. I'm just saying that. I just thought...
It's funny. That's funny. That's very funny. So, pumpkin pie, there is a place out here called Earth Cafe.
U-R-T-H.
Earth. URTH Cafe, and they make an amazing pumpkin pie.
Yes, it is. It is very good.
I think it's one of my favorite. Outside of a homemade pumpkin pie, it's probably my favorite pumpkin
pie. It's better than a lot of homemade pumpkin pies I've had, too.
It is true. But the key
is the crust.
It's the crust, man.
Yeah.
It's like how would you describe the crust?
Delicious. No, it's sort of a
graham crackery,
but it's more like cookie than cracker. I would say there's
very
brown
crumbly.
Sugar in there and cinnamon.
Yeah, there's definitely brown sugar and cinnamon, and it's very crumbly. It's not a traditional pie crust. It's definitely more in the graham cracker crust realm.
Right.
I don't know.
the realm of Graham Cracker Crust. Come with me to the magical realm of Graham Crackers. That's like a new the new Keebler Elf commercial. Except apparently Gandalf is involved in that.
Right.
Lord of the Pies.
I was when we went to go get the pumpkin pie, I was worried like they didn't have it displayed out in the case. And I was worried that they weren't going to have it.
It was early. You were the first, I'm sure, the first guy of the day that was like, give me pumpkin pie.
We had pumpkin pie for breakfast.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Although preamble to next week.
Yes. What do you, I mean, pumpkin pie, but like, what else are you looking, like, what's your favorite, aside from pumpkin pie, what is your favorite Thanksgiving, like, go-to?
I enjoy, my mom makes this sausage cornbread stuffing.
Ooh,
that it's not good. It's not what she actually puts in the bird. She puts just a regular stuffing in the bird. But she makes this cornbread sausage stuffing on the side. Very sagey.
Yeah.
Delicious. That's my favorite thing on the table. Nice. And delicious the next day with eggs.
Have you ever... Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
That's a little mind-blowing. Remember the idea we had, by the way?
We did.
This was a good idea. I want somebody to try this.
Scott Gold loves his state fair food, which just basically
who
means...
Who doesn't?
I don't really. A bite of it is okay, but what it does to my gut is way worse than the taste is good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott Gold loves his Oreos fried, his Snickers fried, his burgers fried.
Yeah, like once in a blue moon, though. This is not.
Yeah,
like
no. At a state fair, once a year, you go to the state fair and you make up for all the oatmeal you've eaten and that brought your cholesterol down. And you've eaten oatmeal every day for a year, and in one day you destroy that the good cholesterol will that you've gathered.
Yeah, yeah, that.
So anyway, we were pontificating the different items that we could deep fry for a state fair. Every year there's, I think in Texas, there's like a big, that's the big state fair best of food contest.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's the Texas State Fair. I always feel like that's the one you read about where it's like, a couple years ago it was butter.
Right.
There was beer one year, there was Coca-Cola one year, and then, you know, it's always deep fried this or deep fried that. So anyway, our idea was stuffing, Thanksgiving stuffing.
Deep fried stuffing.
Stuffing balls.
Dude, it sounds amazing. I still want to try it.
Sounds good. Yeah, I would try that.
Now when we were talking about...
It's like a hush puppy.
Would you take it and put it in like a dough, or would you just deep fry it? I don't think... Like, would it stay together if you just deep fried it by itself? Because there is bread.
I mean, if you had... Like, the right bread stuffing. I mean, what you could do is like, what, you know,
like
put it...
roll it in flour or something?
Yeah, I don't even know if you even need to do that. You just have like a... Like a whatever, however you lower it into the fryer, you like the device itself is like a keeps the shape that you want it.
I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, right.
So just sort of like a round little thing.
Well, I mean,
you breading bread sounds weird to me.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If any of our listeners out there feel adventurous,
although,
and want to try
to
this.
That. When I was a kid, I did occasionally put croutons on a sandwich. So that's kind of like that, right? It's like putting chicken in an omelet.
But that is done all the time.
Yeah, but it's weird.
If anyone tries this, let us know and send us a picture. That's right. All I'm saying.
Don't you have a friend with a deep fryer?
I do. I think I do, actually. I went to a party where he deep fried some food. Mm-hmm. Deep fried hamburger.
That sounds so gross to me.
It was amazing. But you deep fried cheeseburger like bread and all. So you bread the whole burger and then deep fry it.
Wait, you bread the bread? He breaded
everything.
The bread?
Everything. Like the burger with the cheese and the whole thing.
I can't get behind breading the bread.
I mean, you had to because it wouldn't stay together. Like the bread disintegrates inside.
Right.
It completely disintegrates.
So why did he even put bread on it in the first place?
The flavor. All about the flavor, baby.
What about you? What are you looking forward to for Thanksgiving besides pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie? More pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie, pecan pie, apple pie, pumpkin cheesecake.
I mean, this is going to sound weird, No, it's not. This isn't going to sound weird. I love everything about Thanksgiving. There is not... I can't... Aside from pumpkin pie, there is not
you,
one...
Do you like candied yams?
I love it all.
With marshmallows on
all
top?
All of it. Love it.
That's not... That's
turkey,
not my favorite
gravy,
thing.
Stuffing. Give it to me. My, you know what? My aunt actually makes... Don't give it to me, Jamie. Don't give it to me. My aunt actually makes these like cinnamon carrot muffins that are pretty amazing. And actually, I think my cousin's wife has started, took that up, and she's making them this year. But
so there will be judgment.
Those are always good.
There will be judgment.
Always.
Does she make it as good?
But my aunt also makes my aunt and my grandma make amazing pumpkin pie, but it's my aunt...
There's always judgment at the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, always. This is my brother, actually. This is the first year he's doing Thanksgiving in Chicago.
Oh, he's cooking. It's at his house?
Yeah. Him and my cousin are doing Thanksgiving. They live in the city, and they're having everybody come down to the
city. So they're roasting the bird.
Well, my brother's got a big restaurant at his disposal.
True.
And so he's going to do like three different kinds of turkeys. He's going to do like a deep fried turkey. He's going to do a roasted turkey. He's like,
it sounds pretty. We need a full report.
Yeah. He's going like all out. So it's pretty crazy.
Interesting side note. Speaking of pumpkin pies and pies, we, received, Lauren had her bridal shower. And so we, you know, that we got some
gifts.
Stuff. She got some stuff. I happen to
live in the same house with her.
So, but one of the things, is, you know, the company Breville, Breville, they do a lot of the, the little one cup coffee makers.
Oh, right.
Blenders and all this sort of stuff. So anyway, they have, this machine that makes, individual pies.
What?
So it's like four
Wait a
little,
second here.
Four little palm-sized pies. It's like a panini press.
Okay. Start to finish here. How does this work?
So it's like a panini press, right? It's like a two-sided grill kind of thing. And you put the dough, the crust on.
So you have to make pie crust.
Yeah, or you can
or you buy
it from the store.
Right.
And then you put whatever filling you want. So you can make pot pies, or you could make
How
sweet
big are these
or savory.
Pies?
They're like, they fit in the palm of your hand. Man. They're like...
So like appetizer size.
Yeah, like almost like an empanada, maybe a little bit bigger than that. But yeah, they're like, cup your hand, and that's sort of what
this
they're
is,
like.
This is
we haven't used
fantastic.
It yet. We just got it last
I'm coming
night.
Over.
So I can't wait to try it out. But I'm looking forward to putting...
Weird
Maybe
things.
Some green chili chicken
oh
in
my
one.
God, stop it.
That's pretty good, right?
It's amazing.
Or and the
pumpkin filling.
Lovely woman, Miss Erin Ehrlich, who gave it to us, also gave us some pumpkin pie making stuff.
Oh, so like fillings and
yeah,
things like
so that. It's gonna be.
You could like go to the farmer's market and get some like fresh fillings that you could put in. You know
exactly. I'm very excited. Makes four at a time, and I think I'm not sure how long it takes to cook. I don't know, but
we're gonna have to. The first time you use it, I want you to take pictures while you do it, and we'll post them for everybody, and then you can like do a full report on how it works because I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, I knew Scott Gold would be excited about it.
It's amazing.
I was blown away. I'm very excited to use it.
That's very
In
very
fact,
cool.
I might buy ingredients on the way home.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to the report and the photos, and I'm looking forward to tasting some of those pies. I will eat any kind that you make.
Okay.
can experiment.
Any kind.
My stomach, you can experiment.
You have an iron constitution is what you're saying. I'm going to come up with some interesting stuff.
Okay, but
it just has to be edible.
Edible. It has to be something that seems good. Like, I don't want you to try and poison me.
What would be... I'm not going to try and poison you, but I might try to make something weird that... You know,
that I wouldn't like,
not that you wouldn't like, but that I wouldn't like.
How about something that you would that you think might be good, but you're not sure if it would taste good? I would try that for you.
Okay, like what?
Like, I'm saying, like, if you had some weird combination, you're like, oh, this is possible that it could taste good, but not something that where you go, there's no way this is tasting good here,
right?
I'm not gonna eat that.
Interesting.
I will be a guinea pig for something that is supposed to taste good.
Okay.
But not something that is supposed to taste bad.
We'll see.
Great. Well, I guess we'll find out. Coming up in a couple weeks. Next weekend, there's
Sweeney Gold.
Next week, no Tech Bacon.
Turk Bacon.
It is Turkey Bacon. It's the holiday, so you know, we're gonna do a little hiatus next week. And the following week you can catch up with us, which is my birthday weekend. And I normally do a birthday brunch. So maybe we'll have some talking of that.
We should do a live
from the birthday brunch.
Birthday brunch.
Well, maybe we could do a little. We'll record a little bit at the birthday brunch. That could be fun. So anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and bearing with us as we have this little. We've changed where we're recording, and getting the show up has been a little more difficult. But we're going to try and get back on a normal schedule. Hopefully, you know, by the beginning of the year, at some point, maybe. But. Thanks for bearing with us. Thanks for listening. You can check us out on iTunes. You know, throw us up some comments. Check our Facebook page out and Twitter. And I'm at ScottyG7 on Twitter.
Bastard Monkey. BSTRDMONKEY.
And just thanks for listening. I'm Scott.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.